Good morning.
Good morning.
Welcome. This morning is going to be a very simple service. We have a huge number of people at the Gay Pride Parade and another huge number of people at Camp Fest. So I decided that we would keep it simple since I'm filling in for everybody, the liturgist and preacher. So. I've been a member of this church for about 7 years, and I essentially coordinate things. I coordinate Renegade Women and the 11 o'clock RE. And I'm careful to say I don't head it, I just coordinate it. If you knew those two groups, you would know nobody's going to head either one of those groups. They're going to form the group to do what they want to do. If you're a newcomer here today, we extend a special welcome to you. And if you're a visitor, there's visitor cards in the back of the hymnal. Please fill one out and put it in the offering plate, and you'll get our newsletter for 3 months. If you would like to learn more about the church, right behind this wall is some pamphlets. After the service, everyone is invited to the Kate Worker Room, which is through those doors, for coffee and just discussion. If anyone has any announcements for the good of the church, please come to the microphone on my left.
Just a quick update. Sue rallied during the last month of the Battle of the Boot. UMSL was ahead of us, but we succeeded. We collected over 5,300 pounds of shoes. So for the third consecutive year in a row, we won the Battle of the Boot. So thank you to everybody who donated their shoes. It was greatly appreciated. It's greatly appreciated in the countries that they are sent to. And I just wanted to thank you for all your help. Appreciate it.
Thank you. Congratulations. I invite anyone to move to the microphone and share briefly any gratitude or celebrations you bring with you here this morning. Okay, I invite anyone to move to the microphone and share briefly any sorrows or concerns. Since we don't have anyone coming forward, we know that everybody has some joys in their life and some sorrows, and so we all share those together with you. The prelude begins our worship service as Ben Heft lights the chalice. Thank you, Joy. As I said, we're keeping this simple, so you notice we don't have anything up on the wall today, mainly because I'm somewhat technologically impaired, but I am getting there. Downloaded my first zip drive this week, okay. So today, we're going to take everything out of this hymnal. So I would like you to help me call each other to worship. In the back of your hymnal, if you're new here, there are a bunch of readings, and I want you to go to 437, please. I'm going to read the dark print, and I ask you to respond with italics. Let us worship with our eyes and ears and fingertips. We feed our eyes upon mystery and revelation in the faces of our brothers and sisters. We seek to understand the shyness behind arrogance, the fear behind pride, the tenderness behind clumsy strength, the anguish behind cruelty. Let us worship, not in bowing down, not with closed eyes and stopped ears. Life comes with singing and laughter, with tears and confiding, with a rising wave too great to be held in the mind and heart and body to those who have fallen in love with life.
Let us worship and let us learn to love.
Please keep your hymnals in your hand, and we are going to start with hymn number 114. Please rise if you can after you find your place.
Thank you.
please remain standing and turn to the back of your hymnal to the readings. And we're going to do 614, The Sacred Hoop. Then I was standing on the highest mountain of them all. And while I stood there, I saw more than I can tell. For I was seeing in the sacred manner the shape of all things of the Spirit. And I saw the sacred hoop of my people was one of the many hoops that make one circle wide as daylight and starlight.
And in the center grew one mighty flowering tree
to shelter all the children of one mother and one father.
And I
please be seated. Every day we receive gifts from the universe that bless us. I now ask that our ushers come forward and that we bring a portion of what we have and give it to this church in our time and talents and money. We receive with gratitude all the generous gifts of time, talent, and treasure, and together we bless them and those who gave them in faith, hope, and love. Instead of the reading, prayer, and meditation, I'm going to tell a story, a true story, to set the stage for our discussion. I'm not going to give a sermon, we are going to discuss an issue. And the reason we're going to do this is because I need help. I'm being very above board and forward about this. Way back when I was young, I marched for civil rights. And I believed if we marched together and we worked together, that everything that Martin Luther King said would come true. I believed it with all of my heart. Then I got involved in the women's movement as an outcrop of civil rights. And I was an adamant now member. I marched, I worked on cases for women. There would be lawyers who would direct us how to look up case law, and we did this, we were volunteers. And I did that along with civil rights for a number of years, and then just gradually moved from black-white issue, Afro-American and Caucasian issues into women's issues, and I did that. And I went to work, and they took the union away from us for a while, and I went, oh my goodness, this is not fun. And I started becoming a very active union supporter. So I did all those things, really believing it would make a difference. But I look at things today. Really, are people judged on the content of their character and not the color of their skin? Really? If you have blind resumes and you give them to employers and they don't know race, people are hired equally based on credentials. The moment you put race in it, it becomes a totally different picture. The moment you put ethnicity, for example, if it's a Hispanic against a white male, it's a different picture. So tell me about civil rights. What happened to it? I really don't know. Women's rights? We have an assault on women's rights in our country and throughout the world. Women still in the same job make 77 cents for every dollar that a male makes in the same or a comparable job. Labor, we have seen union rights cut repeatedly. I personally, by having to pay for something that I did not have to pay for before, ended up with my pension benefits being cut, though it was part of the Constitution and our union contract. Tell me about labor rights. I'm in despair. What happened? What happened to civil rights? If I were Afro-American right now, I'd be frightened over the way my voting rights are being impinged upon. As a woman, I'm frightened because where are women going? We're going backwards in our earning power. Labor knows what it's like to work and not, absolutely not, get any increase in wages for years. So I question deeply what happened to social justice. What happened to it? I'm not doing anything toward it anymore, I'll be honest. But then I'm a Unitarian. We have those principles, and those principles sometimes are the bane of my existence. Because I have to believe in the inherent dignity and worth of everyone, including people who grossly disagree with me and are trying to trample on my rights. And then it says I should engage in social justice. And I ask, why? Why, when I did so much, not just me, one individual's nothing, but there were movements. And what happened? Then I did something on my bucket list. I went to the opera. Now you may ask, what in the world does the opera have to do with social justice? Well, when you go to this opera, I don't want to say where I went because I don't want to give anybody a commercial plug, but the opera's in English, first of all, so I love that. I have fallen in love with opera, so they give you this big, thick book. And I started reading everything I could in this book, and I'm getting on the web, and I'm getting into various things, and I go to the part in the book where it says 25% of our revenue comes from tickets. The rest comes from donations. And I thought, oh, that's why I can afford to go to the opera. Somebody's paying for me. Somebody cared enough to buy 75% of my ticket. I would never have this beauty if they hadn't done that, because I couldn't afford the full price of the tickets. And then I turned to the back, the next page actually, where they have the donors, and I see a list of 1 million and above. And I'm stunned. And then it goes down from 500,000 to 1 million and down all the way to the smaller donors. And I go, social justice? I'm a recipient of social justice because I could not afford this. So now I'm confused. I am genuinely confused. I'm in despair on one hand, because I look at what's happened to civil rights, I looked at what happened to women's rights, I looked at what happened to labor's rights, but I'm a recipient of social justice. I could only go to this opera because someone else is generously, operas, generously are paying my tickets. So I started thinking about this, and my mind went around in circles, lots of circles, big circles. I've come to no conclusions. So I'm asking for help. I would like to know your thoughts on what you think social justice is. Because I don't know anymore. After finding out my opera tickets are paid for, I don't know. Is it worth doing anything? I don't know. When I look at the current state of things. And then we're here, we're Unitarians, and our principles that we subscribe to say, we engage in social justice. So I put the question out to you, all of these questions. What is social justice? What can any one individual do? And what should I, as a Unitarian, do? Microphone is yours.
I don't know I want to answer the questions just the way you asked them, but I would say that for me, an important principle is one does what's right just because it's right and not because of any expected consequences. It's nice to have good consequences, but you don't always get them. The second thing I would say is you have to take a longer range point of view. Maybe there are some cases where the movement toward justice is sporadic, but certainly things are a lot better than they were 100 years ago or 500 years ago. So it seems to me if you take a long-range view, then you see that there is progress. Thirdly, it does seem to me that one has to recognize that one of the things that's happening is when progress is made toward greater justice, there are other people who are fighting back. And when that happens, there's going to be a movement forward and backward and forward and backward. So you have to look at the overall long-term trend, not just what's happened since 1980.
Men get the discounted tickets too.
I agree with what you were saying, is that we might not be where maybe we should be, but we're a lot better off than we can be. I mean, as a 27-year-old woman, I can be more than a teacher or a nurse. You know, there's a lot of options available for me. And maybe I'm making 77 cents to the dollar, but I'm able to make that 77 cents to the dollar. And maybe my daughter will be able to make a dollar for a dollar. And I think that we can always look at the negative parts of things, that this is the way it should be and it's not. But for a different type of social justice, homosexuals are widely accepted now. There's churches that widely accept them and proudly do gay marriages. And so maybe one part of social justice has hit a stagnant level because we had all these movements and all this momentum, and then we had all this progress, and now people kind of just float on that progress, and there's no more new movements coming, but now there's this new gay, lesbian, transgender movement coming, and that has so much progress to it too. So I think that social justice takes turns with different things, and it just, you know, right now maybe women's movement and a racial movement have kind of stagnated, but other areas of social justice have definitely risen and been greater than I expected just in the little bit of life that I've had to me. There's been so much progress just recently on that.
Now, I've been known to have opinions and to express them, as I'm sure you know. But I want to lay a lot of blame on a lot of the problems we have today on a fellow named Dr. Spock, who came up with this wonderful theory, never strike your child, you'll bruise their ego. Well, a lot of people listened to this, and the people that never had their ego bruised or anything else are running a lot of these things, like our country, where these problems have occurred. But fortunately, we still have people. We're lucky to live in an area where Jack Taylor lives, the man that started this little car leasing company called Enterprise. And he based his business on the fact that you treat your employees the very best you can. Don't worry about the customers. They'll take care of them. Now he's the richest man in this part of the country.
All right, I got two thoughts. The first is that I guess, you know, I wasn't raised with religion, and so I don't know that I buy into the idea of a shining city on the hill in which injustice doesn't exist. I believe that injustice is a factor of the human condition, of fear. It comes out of fear, and there always is going to be fear. And so our attempts at social justice are going to be a constant revisiting of how to live with and work through our cultural and individual fears. And so we're always going to have to come back to the table over and over again. And sometimes it'll be a different table, and sometimes it's going to be the same table. We've fought a lot of these fights over and over again for centuries, though. I'm a historian, and so I've seen these things happen for centuries, millennia even. So that's the first thing. And the second thing is, I too have always struggled with the wording of the inherent worth and dignity of every person. There's something about that that I theoretically believe, but personally struggle with. And right now, our denomination is having its General Assembly, its GA. And the year that it was here in St. Louis, I can't usually afford to go, but it was here in St. Louis, so we could go that year. And Meg Barnhart? Barnhouse, I think is her name. She's a minister down south. And she had this sort of variation on a loving kindness meditation that she would do. And she would hold a person in their thought, in her thoughts, and she would sing, "You might just be the spark that lights the whole world." And she said it was easy to do with people you loved. But then she had us try it on like Karl Rove at the time. But think about that, and that's one of the ways I get past that idea that if that inherent worth and dignity is that they are the spark that starts something, that maybe I can give them that, even if it's Karl Rove.
I understand clearly what everybody is saying. However, to take an opposite view, I once heard insanity defined as repeating the same behavior when it has brought no positive consequence. Trying to accomplish something, you don't accomplish it, you go back and you do the same thing again, you don't accomplish it. You go back and you do the same thing again and you still haven't reached your goal. And you do it again and again and again. And I guess it's part of my question about social justice. Does doing the same thing again, uniting, writing your congressman, whatever it takes, doing all the things that have been done, is that insanity to do it again? I don't know.
Maybe it's not about doing exactly the same thing again and again, but coming, as she said, she's 27, right? Coming to the point where you start asking the question, who made up that rule and why do I have to follow it? And personally changing how you do it in your life so that your children see you doing it differently and their children see it. It isn't going to be an overnight success. Nothing is almost ever an overnight success. Or even over a 10-year period or a 100-year period. But as we go on and say, why am I doing it that way? Why don't I think about it a different way? Why am I thinking about it this way? Why don't I look at it another way? Then we start making huge progresses, but it takes a long time to achieve those kinds of things. And it doesn't seem like it's happening in our present existence. When we start looking back at the justice that is happening now in comparison to 20 years ago and the justice that is happening now in comparison to 100 years ago, then we're starting to see where the progress is. But nothing goes in a straight line. Everything goes in a zigzag. We're moving this direction and we achieve this. And then people start thinking, okay, we've achieved this. And then we go back a little bit. And then we go in a different direction. And eventually we get to where our goals are, but I don't think any of our goals, as lofty as they are, happen in our lifetime.
Sandy.
I think there's a value to persistence. And I say that despite the fact that it's not one of the things I'm real good at. And any of you who know me know that I tend to like my dogs better than a lot of people. And I tend to see life through them. And So here's a dog story. Had four, one died. Had three. Jennifer conned me into going back to four again. So I bring home this three-year-old lab shepherd mix who's been basically in a backyard for 3 years with no attention. And my three look at me like, you've done it again. We were just fine. Here you go again. And he wants to play. Somebody taught him along the way to play tug and fetch. And so he starts pulling on my other dogs. He wants to play. Well, when a puppy wants to play, he pulls on their ears. He pulls on their throats. He pulls on their legs. He just pulls. And when it first started, they just looked at him like, go away. You know, we're old. I mean, the black one's 11, the other one's 8. You know, we want to sleep. And he wouldn't quit. Now, he leaves the 40-pound cocker alone, which is good, because otherwise he's going to step on him. But the two big dogs, he was determined they were his size and they were going to play. And he pulled and they rejected. And he pulled and they rejected. And finally, it's like, well, fine, I'll play with you for a few minutes. And then they'd get tired, and then he'd go get the other one. And so we're at a point where he gets the two big dogs to play with him. Now, the issue of persistence is interesting. The 8-year-old Golden is a tad chubby. Well, she was. She's not chubby now because they play. And they play and they run around and they play. And so I watch them and I keep thinking that, you know, maybe there's something to this persistence thing. Even when people don't agree with you and don't want to do what you want to do, sometimes they'll cave just to make you leave them alone. Just a thought.
Okay, to me it's really simple about social justice. It's a 5-letter word, money. And if you've got money, you get justice. And it boils down to that.
I think I'm going to have to agree with that. I think the fact that income inequality that's happening in the United States right now is one of the reasons why we're losing our inequalities. Without the money to back up what we had in previous generation, where more people were making more money overall on the average, now more money's going to a fewer, and it's not going to change. This is going to get worse. So without somehow being able to change that, we're not going to have justice on many levels. That's all I have.
Next.
The only thing I have to say is what comes to my mind with the social justice is like in the world of Gandhi, he always said, be the change. And if you know his story, he got beat down and almost died several times and finally was murdered. But he did change his world, and I just think that Martin Luther King, too, it's just something you have to constantly struggle. But if you don't do anything, if you walk past that person that's injured, or if you don't help your neighbor, a little bit of part of you in your heart, I think, it doesn't feel right, and it's not a justice. It's a pain that's in your heart, and so if you try, even though you might not make it, within your heart, you know that you feel a comfort and ease that you're doing the best you can and trying to struggle forward with it and with a group, you know. So be the change. That's all I got to say.
Okay, so what I heard so far is, number one, take the long picture. Number two, realize some change really has taken place because As Aurora said, before we fought for women's rights, what women could do was limited, even though we haven't gotten to that equal pay yet. So take the long picture, realize some progress has been made, even though it looks like it hasn't. Be persistent, be that dog that grabs people. But I still have a question. How do I know what to do? How do I know if what I'm doing isn't just that craziness that's a repetition of my past behavior rather than persistence? How do I know what to do out of all these needs? And is it, as a Unitarian, do I do it as part of being a Unitarian or just do it? As it was suggested twice. Just do the thing because it's right. Just do something. Or do you just guess? Right?
The philosopher David Hume made the point, you don't do what's right in order to feel good, in order to get some kind of reward for yourself. But in fact, you do get it anyway. It has to do with what you think of yourself. Am I the kind of person who does what's right just because it's right? And that does make a difference in how you think about yourself.
Wow. It makes me feel really good because what brought all this up is I volunteered to do something I swore. Can I get her and then I'll come back to you? I swore I would never do and I'm doing it, so, for social justice. That makes you feel.
Well, apathy tends to frozen you. And what you have to look at is that if we do not stand up, then who will? And you have to look at that in ways that how can I, but also with many other individuals, say no to certain things and say yes to many things. But if you look back from civil rights, women's rights, union rights, gay and lesbian rights, transgender rights, and human rights, we cannot stand and sit in silence, because when you sit in silence, you see what happens. And it's really hard because there's so many issues, like you're saying, there are so many issues. But every day there is a moment that you can stand or say your piece or stand just to simple ways. If someone is saying something that is hurting, that is ugly, that is hateful, you can counter that act in saying what is opposite of that. And a small act of kindness can make a big difference.
Wow. I'm hearing two things, and that is that at least do something, and it doesn't have to be big. Yeah.
Well, the squeaky wheel does get the oil. So when I make these choices, whether it comes through my email or through the snail mail every day, I have to measure which one's going to get the oil, and how will I make my squeak heard the loudest, and what, you know, can I do directly that will, I think, make the most impact with my squeak and my oil. That's what I measure.
This is making me feel far less silly for volunteering to do something this week. I'm going to do Phil because he's been waiting patiently.
I live where Pruitt-Igoe used to be. They tore it down and Bill Gates had a nice apartment built there. I only pay $212 a month. Very nice.
Okay, thank you, Phil.
I think that, I didn't march or participate in movements or things like that. I would have if I had the opportunity. But I think that those things, you know, if you look for I'm doing this good thing and there's not a massive change to them. You know, if one woman can be a doctor and provide for her entire family on her salary, if one gay couple can get married and get the legal acceptance that they deserve, then, you know, I don't feel like that's all for naught. Like, I feel like the people who do these things and give so much, they do the right thing, not only because it's the right thing, because someone needs them to do that right thing. And even if that's only one person, that it's not for anything.
Okay, so besides taking the long thing, I'm hearing that big changes are not necessarily the only way to make progress. Small changes are good too. I'm also hearing just do what's important to you, and that's enough for social justice.
I had an experience a few years ago that resonates with a lot of the things I'm hearing this morning. At a previous school where I was teaching, I was lamenting racial inequality, and one of my students said something that kind of took me by surprise. He said, "Yes, there's still a lot of ignorance out there. I think part of our job is to be educators."
I'm sorry, I didn't see you.
I believe that civil rights is doing very bad. I've heard, did anyone hear about the Iraq war? After that, my dad came back and he wasn't acting that great. The Marine Corps was going very bad. They weren't recruiting a lot of men and it was way too much. That's why my dad couldn't go back. And a lot of things are bad happening. I've heard at school, like on CNN Student News, I've heard about when it's about Ukraine is fighting out Russia, seeing who can get the biggest part of the land. It's just making me so mad that we're just killing ourselves.
I've been thinking about what he said about us killing ourselves, and I've been thinking about what everybody said about doing something small towards social justice and not expecting the big gains. And putting that all together, part of what I see is that as Unitarians, maybe it makes a difference that we give a bottle of shampoo or a sandwich on the fourth Saturday. Maybe it makes a difference that we have the box out there for the Alton Food Pantry. It might not be a huge thing, but if you've ever had to go with your hair dirty when you finally get it washed, you feel better. So maybe that's important. Maybe that sandwich just tastes a little bit different than what I normally get. So maybe that small things are what makes social justice, not just the big marches and the movements and seeing huge changes. Maybe my generation took a short-term look and we thought we were all going to get it done in our lifetime. You know, maybe we thought, man, my lifetime, we're going to have civil rights for everybody. In my lifetime, we're going to have women's rights. We really thought that. Never even thought, I would be honest when I was young, about gay, lesbian rights. Never thought about it, but look at the change. Look at the change. This has made me more hopeful. It has also enabled me not to feel so silly that I volunteered to do something that I said I would never do again. And it's made me think that maybe that little few phone calls I'm going to make might make a difference. So thank you. Does anyone else have anything else to say about social justice? We do. I'm going to go you and then you.
I just wanted to make a comment about the fact that you're saying, overall, have we made a difference? Overall, are we making a difference? And whenever I think about that, I think about the story of the starfishes. When, you know, you have the storm that has washed up thousands of starfishes on the shore, and the old man is walking down and seeing all these starfish on the shore dying, and there's this little girl who's picking them up and throwing them back into the sea one by one by one. And the old man makes a comment, why are you doing that? What difference is it going to make? And the little girl says, well, I made a difference for that one.
Just add one other observation to that, though, is that I am a firm believer in the concept that united we stand, divided we fall. That girl, if she's tossing the starfish, she can only toss one starfish at a time. But if that girl goes out and gets a bunch of her friends and brings them all to the beach together, they can accomplish a lot more. And if you look at any movement, whether it's the gay rights movement, whether it's the environmental Sierra Club movement, whether it's, you know, you name it, most of these things occur because like-minded people, whether we're like-minded Unitarians or like-minded environmentalists, gather together and amplify the effect of what a single individual can do by more than that sum of it. The whole is more than the sum of its parts.
I would like to say that I think it's important to push for the big changes. It's just important not to become discouraged if they don't happen right away. Because I feel that the reason that some of the big changes have not happened yet is because we have so far been unable to remove selfishness and fear from the human character. And as long as those things are there, the battle will continue. You know, that generosity and kindness and love should be the squeakier wheel, if I can use your metaphor. So that the selfishness and fear and anger isn't the only voice out there. A lot of what we hear these days that makes many of our, I'm taking it, many of our hearts sink are the voices of selfishness and anger and fear. And if we allow that to be the only voice that is heard, it will indeed be a very discouraging situation.
I thank everyone. And as I've learned before from this church, if you need help, all you have to do is say help. And guess what? It appears. So I want to thank you all for your contributions, for giving me clarity about social justice. I've learned that taking the long picture, persistence, even the smallest act can make a difference. And don't expect too much in one's lifetime. It's for the future that we do it. So, thank you. Right, thank you. And I want to thank Joy, and I want to thank Kelly for helping me this morning. The service could not have been done without either one of them. I would like to close our service, and I'm going to read a benediction, and then we're going to do a hymn, because I don't want to close with me. I want to close with you guys singing to each other and me singing to you. So just give me a second to find my... The wilderness and dry land shall be glad. The desert shall rejoice and blossom like the crocuses. It shall bloom abundantly and rejoice with joy and singing. Today, our discussion has led to rejoicing and singing. So let us close with hymn 131. I'm sorry, 131. Love will guide us. 131. Please rise if you can. Have a good week.